Okay, thank you, Alfred. I'm going to talk about computer graphics procedural modeling of soil morphology. And I just want to acknowledge my co-authors, Hansu Kim and Bedrich Benes, are in the Department of Computer Graphics Technology at Purdue, and are coming up with, I think, some fairly interesting results. And then Minerva Durantis is now a scientist in the agronomy department. And this is part of our Integrating Spatial Educational Experiences project, where we're teaching with maps. And so we get the spatial component for this, but we'd also like to get deeper into the soil profile and visualize what the individual profiles look like. And as you all know in this room, we have a large national databases of these written soil profile descriptions that follow a well-defined set of rules that all of you follow when you write your descriptions. And making those descriptions is fairly straightforward, but trying to trying to recreate a visual representation from those written descriptions is very difficult. It takes a lot of skill. It's not straightforward, and you're using a lot of your expert knowledge to recreate that image in your mind. And so this is a picture of a soil profile. This is what we do when we write an experiment or write a description. We'd like to get to something like that, but what we usually get is something like that. And in trying to recreate that, and there's a lot of different approaches to visualizing profiles. These beautiful drawings by Cubiana in his book are one approach, very artistic. Don Franzmeier came up with a little scheme for some soils and for our Indiana soils, which and you've got to know that's a code on what those little symbols mean. And then you're all familiar with the soil web apps that give you these little profile diagrams. And there's a reason that only the colors and the depths are represented, because that's the easy part to represent. It's a much harder to get the stuff to the three-dimensional look of a soil profile. So we've been working on a variety of approaches. We started trying to model a soil profile as a matrix of cubes with X, Y, and Z dimensions, and we thought, well, we can alter those dimensions to generate blocks and plates and prisms, things like that. Turns out you end up with too many vertices to be very efficient with that. Another approach is to take photographs and good photographs and generate these images and then put them in a database and mix and match them. But you have to store all that stuff, so that gets you've got the overhead of having to deal with that. And then what the computer graphics guys use is something called procedural modeling. And that's, I think, showing some progress. This is commonly used in their field, and it's to generate visual representations that are based on a set of rules and parameters, and it translates a description into a parametric model that you can then use in 2D and 3D soil profile representations. And then you can rotate these and scale them however you'd like. And there's no pre-generated data, so there's no pictures behind this. So there's almost no storage overhead except for your code. And it generates these objects from these sets of rules. And a lot of you are familiar with the Mandelbrot set, the fractals that are generated by a fairly simple set of rules, and it's good for parallel computing if you need that sort of computing power. So what we've come up with is what we want to do is take tabular soil morphology data and take those soil morphology terms. There's a translator that translates those morphology terms into the parameters that the procedural models need, and then that goes into the procedural model that then renders an image, and then the output of that is an image. And ultimately, we hope to use the official series descriptions. Right now, those are all written descriptions, but they've got horizon, depth, color, all of these things very, very carefully defined. One of the challenges for using that is that they still need to be put into in a tabular form to make this efficient. But there's plenty of other tabular data out there that this would work with as well. So here's the procedure. This is two types of soil structure. This description translator. You translate that height, width, height, and radius into parameters that are then entered into these procedural models that have names like Perlin's gradient noise, fractal synthesis, turbulence, and so on. And basically, these are just noise functions. They're fractals at and they're pseudo-random. Under this parameter control, and these different functions give you different types of images. So this trigonometric jittering gives you something like that, gradient noise, fractal synthesis, and turbulence. But they all look like clouds, and the student that was doing this kept bringing these models to me and say, well, this is subangular blocky. And I'd say, Hansu, these look like clouds to me. But in fact, he was right. I'll show you here in a minute. And then these morphometric properties then are like granular, small, rounded aggregates. Then this gradient noise procedural model works quite well for that. And with these parameters, subangular blocky, these cubes with rounded edges. This trigonometric jittering works good to regenerate that. And then prismatic, he's come up with fractal synthesis, seems to generate that. And the back to these. So those models generate these cloud-like features. And what the output of this is really like the digital elevation model data that all of you work with, X, Y, and Z. And the next step then is to put a hill shade that makes it look like there's light shining on a solid surface. And you're all familiar with this from your GIS work. And so this is where we are right now, and we've gotten four of the soil structures. So this is granular structure. This is the procedural model itself, and when you put the hill shading on this, you get something that looks like granules. And you can vary those parameters to make those bigger and smaller, and you can also vary the contrast to get strong, medium, and weak, and those sorts of things. This is platy soil structure. This is the procedural model. You put that hill shading on there, and it looks like plates. This is subangular blocky, and I've shown all of these to pedologists and ask them to identify them, and most pedologists come up with what we think the term should be. So this is subangular blocky. I should have made this audience participation thing here. And this is prismatic, so so actually some of these we probably still need to work with, at least from this angle. It's not looking as prismatic as it does from the angle that I see here. So eventually then you can put these on a surface that you can then rotate, and then the next step will be to add the color on top of that, and then you can use these sort of similar functions to simulate modeled colors and those sorts of things. So in conclusion, these there's almost no storage overhead with these. They're very fast, controlled by only two or three parameters. But we've still got a ways to go. We need to get macro structures. I'm not sure how we're going to do prismatic or columnar, because to get those rounded tops. But these guys are pretty talented, so they should come up with something. And Hansu has to graduate, so maybe that'll be an incentive. And boundaries and transitions. But we've since we've tried some things with that, and that seems to be working pretty well as well. And but I don't have an example of that for now. So finally, I'd just like to acknowledge our funding sources is funded by a USDA Higher Education Challenge grant. And so thank you for your attention. And if there's questions, I'll be happy to answer. Right. Yeah, if we had the OSDs, we should be able to generate. I mean, then you can generate, if you've got a tabular data, the idea is you just read that table and have something that looks. These procedural models, it just has to look like a soil. It doesn't matter exactly what it is behind it.
And structure is probably one of the features that feels those scientists look at most carefully.
Right, right. That's the next step. We've talked about we need to simulate gravel and chainers and stuff like that, but you know, all of that is in those descriptions, and so we need to try some of that. So, Alfred. Right.
A more wider range of actual expression of the structure.
Yeah, one thing, we want to do some testing of having pedologists compare photographs to our models, and looking for photographs that show good platy structure, for example, and looking through our monoliths, you find it in little pieces of it, but not over the whole monolith. And, you know, our brains are doing some amazing things by putting these structures. We're seeing these broken surfaces, almost a random surface, and we're putting names to that, as what I look at it. Yeah.
So can you also go the other way around?
Yeah, that's a possibility, that if you could use these as matching, you know, match to your... I guess the facial analysis or facial identification software is doing something. Maybe you could use techniques like that to look at a photograph. And so.
Some of those were remarkable, particularly when you put the hill shade on.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just trial and error on their part? Did they do something and then they looked at it and say, how's the order? Systematic that they could say, this one should make platy and this one should make vertical.
Right. He went out to the field with us for a few times when we first started this project, and so And then he looked at pictures and stuff like that. And it seemed like for a year or more, nothing was happening. And I was beginning to wonder if my money was well spent with these guys. And then, boom, all of a sudden he comes up with this stuff. So you never know when somebody will make a breakthrough like this, I guess.
Thank you, Deb.